pals.
Greetings, pals.
Greetings, pals.
Welcome to the podcast, Throwing the Power. My name is Frank.
My name is Marcus.
My name is Tom.
And good news. We're talking about Wicked.
Oh, we
2024
are.
Was Wicked.
The wickedly Wicked! Talented.
Anyway, this is the podcast, Throwing the Power. We talk about movies, love it or hate it. We debate it.
Mm.
And on this podcast, we rate films out of 11.
We do.
We do.
Thomas.
Yeah.
Do you know why?
I do.
Why do we do that?
Well, saw this movie a few days ago and every day since, 11, it's probably the number of minutes I've been taking for myself every day just to hold space with Wicked, just kind of taking time, you know?
Yep.
I don't know if you've been seeing that. There have been a few posts.
You got to hold space.
About, yeah, just holding space with the musical.
For the listener, do you want to clarify? Because not everyone's in this.
No, what the fuck is
Oh, you're not with this?
No.
So have you seen much of the Wicked press tour?
No.
Cynthia and Ariana have been going at it. And one of the most recent, very
let's,
funny
Let's
clips.
Clarify glowing.
Sorry,
going
sorry.
Yeah,
they've been,
going
at they've been eating each other out, like, on the press tour.
Thomas, and so, Thomas, Thomas, Thomas.
Cynthia Erivo and Ariana Grande have been getting very emotional, very involved on the press tour. And yeah. They recently did an interview and someone said to them, just so you know, I've been seeing that a lot of people have been holding space with the lyrics for Defying Gravity. And Cynthia goes, oh my God, I had no idea. That's so wonderful. That's what I wanted. And then the
interviewer. Is that how she sounds?
No, I don't know.
Okay.
And then
wasn't bad.
And then the interviewer goes, I mean, I've seen a couple of posts, but like people are holding space with this. And it's just been very fun seeing this interview clip take off where it's like, holding space is such a therapy speak online term that if it means something, doesn't mean what that interviewer thinks it means.
No.
And then like Ariana reaches over and grabs Cynthia's one finger like this to comfort her as she's like welling up. It's the most unusual clip. And then the interviewer kind of walks back and goes, I mean, I've seen a couple. Like, I don't know if everyone's
realized
doing that.
He's gone too far.
Goes, I'm in queer media, so you know, I've seen some of these posts.
I'm sorry, this sounds super pretentious.
The theater kids who've made the movie musical.
Yeah.
I don't know if pretension entered into this.
The press tour is a little off-putting,
it's
I would
maybe
say.
My favourite thing about
this.
This
is my hilarious. Least favourite thing about musical theatre in general. Like
the people involved.
Didn't you meet
no, truly. Actually, though.
Sorry, let's just clarify. You met your wife dueling a musical theatre show.
Dueling.
Duel of the Fates.
You guys did.
That checks out,
Star
actually.
Wars Phantom Menace, right?
So that's why we rate them out of 11.
Yeah,
because we're holding space.
Holding space 11 minutes
11
a day.
11 minutes a day. Very good.
With the musical.
All right, well, shout your name if you like this film.
Marcus!
Today is not the day I'm shouting my name, because I didn't.
Okay, can I just say, that was stunning.
That was so exciting for
we
me.
We just...
Wait.
Kind of harmonized. We'll have to look at the playback.
I don't
on
think
that.
It was.
I don't think it well, whatever.
We all could have been Galinda.
Yeah. You know? And then Tom's turned around just to.
You heard me like that. All right, Tom, well, give us a number. Give us a.
4.
Oh my God.
Do you know, I had a feeling.
I
had a feeling.
I'm surprised. You like it. That wasn't a lie?
No, I liked it.
You liked it. Give us a number.
I'm embarrassed though.
Don't
I'm embarrassed. 8.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Mine.
Oh, no, wait. No, wait. 9.
What?
That's what I wrote down. Let me stick to 9 and we'll work our way back.
All right. We'll go back down to an 8 by the end of the film. End of the pod.
I'm so sorry.
He's like showing how the sausage gets made a little bit there.
Spoiler alert, I'm going to throw into an 8.
Yeah. No.
I'm a 10 for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, I expected that.
Maybe one of the more underwhelming sounds we have for 10.
It's expected. Everyone knew it was going to be 10.
That's
so
true,
like,
actually.
Guys, it's like a duh.
Like duh, duh, duh.
It was an 11 until halfway through.
Okay.
And then it was an 11 for the rest of it. But
so once
one,
it hit the 3-hour mark, you were like, okay, I don't know.
It's only 2 hours 40.
I don't know about that.
So relax.
Somehow time distended.
You love long movies.
I do love good long
Give
movies.
Give us a quick synopsis.
Okay, well, it's part one of Elphaba the Musical, of Wicked the Musical, which if you haven't seen it, basically Elphaba is a misunderstood green.
It's Elphaba the Musical, let's be honest.
Yeah, should be. Oh, gosh. Here's the synopsis. Elphaba, a misunderstood young woman because of her green skin, and Galinda, a popular girl, become friends at Shiz University in the land of Oz. After an encounter with the wonderful Wizard of Oz, their friendship reaches a crossroads.
Can't believe it's called Shiz.
What colour is that crossroads, Frank?
It's yellow. Yellow brick crossroads.
It's yellow, yeah.
I thought the first couple of times, I was like, I'm mishearing it. There's no way it's Shiz.
There's a lot
and
of,
by the third time, I was like, no, it's called Shiz.
It's good Shiz. There's a lot of like weird, whimsical... play on language that I don't know if it fits now? Like the She's University and
Shizzle Manizzle.
What do they say? Like,
oh, they've got like they add like extra syllables to what they're like horrendous, or whatever, little
things like that. You go, what that. Yeah, it's kind of like, what was that movie where I hated where they didn't know what words were? Furiosa.
Sure.
And I was like, why do they know what words are?
There's an overlap with this and Furiosa in many ways.
Yeah, that's yellow brick road. Yellow dirt road.
I don't know.
Like, I don't know roads.
If we're just going to go roads. I think
yellow
like
dirt road.
A prequel that was already in the lead up to it getting skewered and sort of masked online for its visual palette. And the way that it was sort of presenting, you know, mm-hmm. people are seeing mm-hmm. screen grabs of this much as they did with Furiosa and going, oh, this looks horrendous. Who lit this? Who color graded this?
Yeah.
I disagree with that assessment for Furiosa. I think a lot of those shots work in context and the movie looks good. I kind of agree with a lot of the assessments of Wicked.
No,
I think it's
stunning.
Go on, you start.
Visually, I think one of the best things I've seen on screen in the last 5-10 years. I think it's stunning.
You talk about your experience watching it too. Where'd you go?
I went to the premiere of Melbourne.
Oh, okay.
Doesn't matter. I went to a little cinema. it was a packed house. It was a big crowd. It was a very – people were on board. You know what I mean?
Yeah. How many champagnes?
Me? Zero.
Whoa.
Dry, baby.
Were people singing?
No.
Okay.
Absolutely not.
Fucking God.
I had one person behind me who you know, Marcus, and they were going, sing. And I was like, shut up without language. I was like, I was going to swear.
I wasn't going to confront
them. I didn't turn around.
But I shimmied my shoulders.
Shush.
You know when you ruffle your feathers as a little threat to someone?
I was wearing feathers.
It's what I was sort of saying before. This is my least favorite aspect of the musical theatre world. I grew up in musical theatre. I've done it.
We can tell.
A lot. Actually, that's offensive.
So have I.
It's offensive. Yeah,
why?
But you
offensive
are
to
musical
you.
Theater.
Yeah, and I'm proud of it.
Yeah, so
I don't think anyone meets any one of us and goes, oh, they must have done a trade at school. Like, I think all of us
look
are
at my hands.
Lumped into
so
the
I mean, you are pretty sweaty, Tom.
Thank you very much. But that's under all these spotlights.
That was a visual joke.
I flourished in everything.
That's a visual joke.
I wasn't raised in musical theatre. Don't know what you're talking about.
It's not a part of the world that I love, and the people really turn me off it, right? So that
experience, they can be exhausting.
But I feel that way about film culture. And online spaces for film people and people that you meet and you start talking with movies about, you always have that like 50-50 where you're going to talk to someone who's going to be like, oh man, have you seen, and they'll like say 3 Tarantino movies and the latest Christopher Nolan movie, and you throw
Is this a self-assessment?
I mean, if you guys
looking
are going to
in a mirror.
It's so funny to me whenever I bring up film
you've
stuff
coined
and
your
because
own
of
thing.
How I look, people are like, you mean you? And it's like,
no,
that's fine.
It's not how
Let's
you look.
Do it
it's
that
how
way.
You talk. You love Tarantino and you love Christopher Nolan.
Yes, but if you're
going to
pretend those are my like, oh, this is the definitive.
Oh, sorry, you do
cinema.
Like in Bruges. You're
and
like
you've
one
given yourself
film.
A section called The Butler's Pantry.
Like, okay, let's quickly.
I'm sorry I didn't like the most nuanced film of this year that wasn't for Film Bros.
No,
Deadpool
right.
Wolverine.
Right.
Obviously, I feel really
Still
bad
mad about
I wasn't
it.
Into that
Still
art house
it.
Film. Anyway, Frank, go on. You
God,
were talking
you're such
about
a.
Sorry, we interject.
I think it's stunning. Let's go back to the set, the lighting, the color grading, all that stuff. I think Elphaba's makeup is incredible,
Agreed.
Which is impossible to do, to make it look natural and real and not like makeup on a person's skin. It looks like it's almost digital.
Agreed.
But it is actually makeup. Fantastic. The 10 million tulips they planted and painted by hand in the field for the opening scene.
I think it was 9 million.
It was 11 to win. That's why we ran.
Imagine if it had been 11. Imagine. They did.
But like all the sets are built, they're all practical. Yeah. Almost everything is practical. All
Which,
the flying is, you know.
That's not at all true, but that's okay.
Okay, not we'll all true. But how much of it is actually practical when it could have just been entirely digital?
A lot of
digital.
The interiors and a lot of the facades are practical, but you see behind the scenes stuff and it's like everything that goes over, you know, like 10,
yes,
12 feet. It's like, and there's where the blue is and there's
a lot
where
of it's
add.
In camera. So give them some credit
some
for
of
that.
It's
What's
in
the
camera?
Device they use now? What's that? It's that massive room.
CGI?
No.
What's it called?
It's a
tarp.
A
no?
The wall. No, it's the big room where you're basically living in.
They weren't in that.
See, to me, it felt like they were at times.
Like
you
a soundstage, essentially.
No, the thing they used on Mandalorian.
Really, yeah.
I don't know.
It's a famous
I know what you guys mean.
It's,
I don't know what it's. I don't know what it's
you're
called.
The
but
film
it's like
bro.
A full, yes. Sorry. I was too busy rewatching Tarantino, but it's like a full set that's just almost entirely Like, you can do whatever you want. You can manipulate and digitally
alter the ground and the, you know,
I know exactly what you mean. Yeah. I don't know if that's what a lot of this was. There's some of it. Frank's absolutely right that so much of the production design and so much of the effort that went into this was some very beautiful, like, architecture and some really inspired choices that I think got completely overshadowed by the CGI.
But Tom, you know how much
drabness that was at display. I thought it was incredibly washed out. I thought it was a really, really, like, uninteresting movie to look at most of the time. I was largely, like, just I kept finding myself going, I don't want to be this guy who's like, well, the color grading and whatever. But I just kept being like, why isn't this more colorful?
It's normally
me. Why isn't this Oz? Why isn't this, like, fucking Technicolor? Why doesn't this pop the way that it should? And then occasionally it would, and I was like, oh my God, that looks incredible.
So you can have those moments.
So you can have those occasional moments. Like,
yeah,
those,
I don't think the whole thing can be like, wow, this is vivid and this is stunning.
That would be too ambitious.
Okay.
All right, hang on. Can we give specific examples here? Because we're being very vague.
Let's say you walk into the Emerald City and everything's green and shiny and the costumes.
So when they're walking through the Emerald City and you're seeing all the dance numbers.
All the different dance numbers, the different buildings.
That, to me, looks incredible.
Yeah.
So to you,
when you
Tom,
go into the wizard's chamber and he's got the giant head that comes out through
the
mirror.
I like the head.
That's amazing.
That's
the little
practical.
Mini
that
set
good.
He had, and then he but does then, his curtain dance, shadow dance behind the screen. Yep.
Dance is a strong
okay,
word
so Jeff Goldblum's not a dancer, but it's a nice
piece.
It's a nice moment. Yeah.
But then you've got Elphaba on the broom, and you've got Emerald City from distance,
from the sky.
The sky. To me, obviously very CGI and a bit washed, right? Is that where you were feeling it most?
I felt it a lot of the time. I felt walking through, like, Only One Short Day. That's the song where they're going through the Emerald City. I felt a lot of it there. I felt a lot of it when we were just spending time at Shiz, you know. Obviously some of the close up stuff. I've already had a massive conversation with Loxley, who we went and saw this with at IMAX.
Sure. Yeah,
and he's told me how wrong I am. And then he at one point on the street, 10 minutes after we left, yelled at me, "Well, you have no taste." And I was like, may be true.
Yeah, that is true.
But I don't
I hate CGI. I talk about this in almost every pod.
I don't hate CGI. I
love
like
the practicality.
Good CGI.
Is mostly good CGI in terms of, like, they've given the artist time to create it. It looks believable. It looks real. Even the animals look pretty good. For a movie that's not like a massive CGI undertaking, it's more about a musical and a recreation of the stage play, which let's talk about the extension of the architecture that you see on stage, the steampunk aspect of it. And
it's great.
They just extrapolated that and made it so, like, based from The Wizard of Oz and all this stuff, and I just think it's come together in such a beautiful way, in a way that everything that we think we would have seen on stage is what we see on this film. I think it's perfection. I think the design and everything they've created is outstanding.
Tom, beautiful. My concern was, and I've mentioned this already, the IMAX screen. This is my first IMAX viewing, right?
Ever?
In Melbourne, sorry. So I've lived here 10 years. I've never been to the IMAX in Melbourne. Okay. I maybe went when I was a kid and watched, you know, some dinosaur.
Oh, the Antarctica.
I've never seen a movie, like a film in IMAX.
This was like your third movie at the cinemas.
Sure. Good bit. I'll carry that. I don't even know how to
what
yes
were,
end
What
that.
Were the other two is the question.
One, the cinema was packed. Mm. So my general concern was, whole shit, everyone's going to start singing.
I was worried about that.
I was worried turning up that people were going to be in costume, and I'm like, I can't. None of that happened. It was great.
Mm-hmm.
Three, it was packed cinema, which I hate, and we had dead center of the cinema, like center aisle, center of the row, packed in, squashed in.
Well, Tom booked
like,
this, what, 8 months ago?
And once you sit, you're not getting out, was kind of the feeling. Mm-hmm. And so we're boxing. I was like, fuck, this is going to go for 2 hours and 40, and I'm going to have to piss at some point. Thank God it didn't.
No.
It, to me, was very close, and it was visually, like, so confronting. And then on top of all that, they're like, hey, free upgrade. You're in 3D now. And we're like, what?
Mm.
So 3D was a lot.
The one thing you said before we started, Frank, was you can't imagine what 3D would have added to this.
Yeah.
You're correct. It added nothing.
Yeah,
absolutely. Which I'm not mad at the film
also
for that.
Also, doesn't that usually take away from the color?
It can. It's less so now, but it was definitely like when 3D was still becoming a thing.
When it was those red and blue glasses.
It used to dullen it a little. Like, people would go see Avatar and be like, I'm sure this looks great when the color's there and the lighting's there. It tends to be improved now, but I've seen screenshots of this since watching the movie. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, I think it looks like it doesn't pop. It doesn't have the look that I would find more arresting.
I just think it'd be, if it was popping on every scene, you'd be like, this is fake. This doesn't look real, because the skin tones, it's like, you got to make it look natural, right?
No, it's Oz. Oz. Like, what are you talking about? It's a musical set in Oz. I don't give a fuck if it doesn't look real. I want it to look good. Jesus. I apologize. I got really big there, but just...
What was that about?
Because I think it's a crazy instinct that filmmakers have. We saw the fucking Mufasa trailer beforehand.
Yeah.
And I was like, why does this look like shit? Like, why doesn't this look like a magical, like, incredible fantasy world?
Africa's a real place.
Yeah, with the talking lions... It's fine.
Okay.
It's fine. Should I just think it's
Tom
really
is,
strange.
For the listener, Tom is beetroot red.
I've got red there. I got a little red. I look more colourful than anything in this movie looked, but it's fine.
He's kind of mad.
Yeah, this is ridiculous.
I just think that
defensive much.
Of all the things that have happened in film of the last like 5 or 10 years, the idea that there's going to be some like, we need to make this naturalistic and strip down because people won't take it if it's too much. And I'm like, do too much. Do too much. That's so much more interesting to me. I just think this was kind of...
I disagree. No. And I disagree on that because
totally
I think you've got enough fantastical stuff. You've got enough that people go, whoa, I'm buying into this. I'm buying into the lore of the world. I'm buying into... Right, why is she the only green person in the entire thing? Because the wizard had sex with this woman and drank a green elixir?
Spoilers, by the way.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. We've been very focused on... railroad this. We
wouldn't need to worry about this being spoilers if the movie was just as it should be, one movie.
No,
by the way,
disagree.
But we will get into that.
We'll talk about it. So let's move away from the visuals for a second because we're going to be talking about this for too long.
We could do 2 hours and 40 minutes.
In terms of narrative, in terms of performance, in terms of singing, it's a musical.
Before we start that for the listener, how many times have you seen Wicked on stage, Marcus?
Was there any reason you saw it?
Two. Because I was going to come and watch you do it, Frank. That's what he wanted to talk about.
No, but I know the show very well. I played, doesn't
I'm
matter.
Brag.
I know
no,
the
no,
script.
No, you now must say who you played. No,
yeah, go. Who'd you play, Frank?
Fiero.
Was he the doctor? Okay. Yeah. Okay, that's all right.
So, and Tom had never seen it ever, didn't know what he was going into, right?
No,
had new
no
Defying Gravity. Let me take that again. You knew Defying Gravity.
Kind of.
From Glee.
Which is this movie's equivalent of Let It Go.
But it was
similar thing.
It's a good song. Where
it's maybe
heard...
the greatest musical theater.
But no. But it's a good song.
It's maybe the greatest musical theater song ever written. I just want to say that.
I don't.
In the last 20 years, maybe. Except for all of Book of Mormon and that's about it.
Okay. It's not to my taste.
It's so good. The build, and the payoff.
I shouldn't say as in I don't like it. I do like it.
Yeah, of course you do.
I have so many issues with this movie that stem from finding out. One of the most shocking things I found out reading about it over the last couple of days was, this was like not savaged, but this was polarizing on Broadway. I just kind of very naively was like, people loved this, right? Everyone loved it. Critics loved it. Audiences loved it. No. People came away from this being like, kind of generic songwriting, kind of average music, like very heavy-handed. And then it was just the second most successful Broadway show of all time. Like, it has made so much money, stupidly. So it's a little bit of a Cats, which I didn't realize. Like, it kind of has a legacy.
God.
I knew that was going to make you angry, but it's hard not to make the comparison that it's got a legacy off the back of culture and audience.
Yes.
But it's not.
But it's not,
I wouldn't say.
It's not a Stephen Sondheim where it's like intricate lyrics and fucking chromatic fucking
melodies.
But I
was just like, I'm going to hear 10 songs that I'm going to be like, immediately they're in the canon. And I don't really know about most of the music in this. I didn't think it was particularly
I think it's
good.
I think it's simple, but it's affecting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like what musical theatre should be, because most people don't go, wow, that's so intricate. I love the way that steps down and the harmonies are crossing over there. Most people don't care about that stuff. They want pop punk on stage. Dear Evan Hansen, why is it great? Hamilton, pretty simple. All of this stuff.
I would disagree with that on Hamilton. I don't think Hamilton is.
But melodically simple. Lloyd Webber, melodically pretty simple.
I agree with
these
that.
I'm opting
that
out
sell
of this conversation.
If we're talking about Sondheim, who's like discordant to like arrest you and make you go, what the fuck was that? Like,
yeah,
I've never heard anything like that.
That's awful. Why? Stop making sounds like that.
It's weird that this has turned into a musical theatre thing. Ooh. I think that I wasn't prepared for so much of the music in this to sound like sort of AOR, like 90s radio rock. Like, I didn't realize it was going to kind of be like like adult oriented rock. Like, just kind of like, this is not as theatrical as I was expecting, despite the fact that
Defying Gravity. Breakfast at Tiffany's on repeat.
excuse me?
And I said, what about?
Oh, not the movie.
No, I'm like, God, give us a program, AOR.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, wow.
You're the one talking about 90s rock here, man. You can't even quote.
Pearl Jam. I think Eddie Vedder wanted to be in this.
Was that? But who sings that?
Not
Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Who sings it?
Deep Blue Something.
Okay. It is Deep Blue. It's Deep Blue Something.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about before. Let's talk about performance.
Sorry.
Let's talk about performance.
Okay. Elphaba was incredible.
Cynthia Erivo.
Yep.
Is the greatest singer on the planet.
See, okay, I don't know if I can agree with that. I think she was really incredible. Mm-hmm. But I didn't walk away from that going, she's the greatest singer I've ever encountered in my life ever. Wow. I just went, she nailed that.
It's better than anyone has ever sung that role, ever.
That I've heard, yes.
I know, I've heard.
No, I agree with that. But you, sorry, let's go back to what you just said.
Greatest singer on the planet.
I mean, I think that's a stretch.
I have something to say on this.
Okay.
I think Cynthia Erivo is the greatest singer I've ever heard in my life. Wow.
Yes.
That is actually how I feel.
Yes. Like, she.
I love her so much.
It is undeniable.
Every time she was singing, I was like, well, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen.
I've got goosebumps right now thinking about her.
She doesn't sing enough in the fucking musical.
No, that's a good point. That is actually a good point.
It's so annoying.
She's a young Whoopi Goldberg.
What?
Can you not see that? I couldn't unsee it from the...
In terms of what, the gap tooth and the funny?
She was also in... No.
How
I think she's got a striking resemblance in her facial structure. But,
you know, Sister Act's okay.
Like Whoopi.
I think in terms of vocal delivery, in terms of tone,
yeah.
In terms of the dryness in her humour.
Yeah, I can see that.
I think it's all there, and to me I couldn't unsee that. Also, was she not in The Colour Purple?
Yes.
Okay, well.
On stage, but not the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. But she played Nettie or Celie?
Nettie? I don't know the character's name.
Yeah.
One of the things I'm here and it's like...
Well, this is what happened when Mother and Loxley and I finished watching this movie on the weekend and Marcus was there. And by the way, you can get me back for those tickets anytime. We went back home after
that. How much were they?
Sorry. I think it was like $70, $80. Anytime.
$200.
Actually, that's right. That's fucking inflation. You have no idea. You have no idea. But anyway.
No, I need to know. What the fuck? That's entrapment. So
I love you.
It's double jeopardy.
We went home, Loxley, Mum and I, and we put on videos of Cynthia Erivo singing. And
we went, I'm
Still Here, and we did
I'm Here.
I thought, sorry. And I Can Do Better Than That, which you and I have
last
talked about.
5 years, yes.
And as we're watching it, I was like, I'm having a better time now than I was at Wicked. And I don't think it's a mark of a good movie for me personally, my own taste, when I'm like, I would rather watch Cynthia Erivo and Ariana Grande sing show tunes nonstop than watch this movie. I think that would be far more entertaining.
So
I don't think that's a good mark.
Depends on the show tune, because you're picking two fantastic songs.
I would almost just say just them singing most of the score of Wicked.
Yeah,
I would be like, great, put that on. I don't need any of the rest of this, which I found turgid and really overwrought and very much not to my liking, but I, again... This is such a boring opinion. I didn't like this movie. Most people do, right?
But you don't like the story. You don't care for Fierro Bock, Dr. Dillamond. I didn't like Michelle Yeoh. I'll just say that.
No,
I think, why?
None
like,
did I.
Because or, every I was going to say everyone
she
they've
can't
cast.
Sing.
This is the problem. Everyone they've cast is a name. Ariana's so famous, it's ridiculous. But Cynthia's
though,
famous
right?
in these circles. Jonathan Bailey is what, from Bridgerton, and that's kind of it. Like, he's a Broadway kid growing up,
yeah.
Or West End, whatever. Yeah.
But he's definitely young enough to be at university. That's the main thing about his character.
People can study mature age.
He's a winky prince.
He's going around drinking and getting kicked out of school.
Once he showed up, I was like, well, the plot must be that he's going to come and be like, hello, I'm doing an opening ceremony here, and thank you so much for teaching us. And then he's like, I'm a student. And I'm like,
in this fantastical world.
Yep, that one I want. That they should have used CGI there.
Tom, you're criticizing years of film and musical theaters doing this.
Let's look at Grease for 2 seconds.
Yeah.
They're all 50.
Let's honestly. Go watch Grease right now. Honestly, what are we doing?
World's worst
so
musical.
Michelle can't sing, and she in terms of the character development and stuff, it was a bit one note for me. I wasn't super into it.
Yeah,
Goldblum, Bloom was. He can't sing either, turns out. I mean, there's something there, but it was very, it was...
It's not a strong voice. I think he understands where he's meant to be. I liked Goldblum. I didn't love Michelle.
You've got Ethan Slater as Bock.
Ethan Slater as Bock.
It's weird. It's probably the only five-dimensional character I've ever seen in a film. It was almost just too many aspects to him that I was just like, well, God, I'm glad I'm learning so much about this instrumental character to the film.
He's a sponge.
Wow,
he's a sponge.
Be more sarcastic.
Can I?
You're quivering. So mad. You missed my lips are actually quivering. He's so mad.
I'm thinking of yes.
You missed my SpongeBob reference, which
he's
no one
a sponge, and he's like having an affair with Ariana.
And he's SpongeBob on Broadway. That's what he's known from.
I didn't love him. He was fine.
I think it's a weird character. It's always hard because it's like, why are you in? Like, you're not. Are you in love with Nessa or Nessa? Nessa.
Well, he's just a
to
dick.
Confessor.
He's a dick.
Would we say dick?
A little bit.
He's playing the game. He's trying to get to Glinda. He's doing what she wants. Yeah, not great. Obviously,
it's
not a
pretty
good
awful
person.
Stuff.
But who is a good person except for Elphaba?
Agree with you. Most of these characters are horrible, and I didn't like spending time with them. I think you're absolutely right to make that point, Frank.
All
right,
should we? No, well, said. That should that we talk about? Because
I don't think
Thomas,
they're
you
horrible.
love Bowen Yang.
I do love Bowen Yang.
Did you hate him in this?
Is he in this?
Oh God.
Was Bowen Yang in this movie?
He made you chuckle.
Okay,
at least.
I'm sorry.
I can't wait for Tom to throw in the towel on this. It sounds like he's really
he's really open minded. Yeah, yeah. So Ariana Grande, what if Ariana Grande in the role that she like was born to play? She's very passionate about this entire project.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do we think?
I think she was amazing. However,
go.
We are talking Ariana. Did I hear that right?
Grande.
Okay, yeah, Grande. She was. I know she hasn't had work done. Just stay with me on this. Mm-hmm. But to the point where I was like, you're almost so expressionless in this film for the majority of it to me. Mm-hmm. She didn't blink once, by the way. I don't know if you want to go back and watch.
That's good film craft.
There wasn't a lot there, like in terms of her delivery. Like vocally, whatever. She was great, right?
Vocally, whatever.
I didn't get a lot out of her.
Really?
And I kept thinking about it. So it was like it was noticeable to me that there was something weird going on. I was like, your face isn't moving much. Like you've got this wide-eyed stare.
But did you like her physicality?
Physicality was very fun. And her comic timing is so good.
Yeah.
So, so good.
Yeah.
And her impression work is excellent. She's a great performer. There was just something really off about this performance in particular for me. Mm-hmm. Where I was like, it's almost like she's had work done where her face just isn't doing anything this whole film to me. That was my take. And saying that, I loved her in this film. So,
yeah. Yeah, I think that's a really interesting thing because you sort of look back and you go, yeah, maybe she didn't pull any faces. I thought she was incredible. Okay. And it's so nice to hear her sing normally or open, full voice, whatever, soprano. Like,
you're not a fan of her music.
This is the part where I say I don't want it.
He's strumming a fake guitar to an EDM song.
That one.
It's a really small guitar. Yeah,
he's holding his DJ decks up here.
I love that song. Is what I'm saying.
I like that song. I like a lot of Ariana's music. I've been a big fan of hers for a long time. I thought she was pretty good in this. I wish I liked her more in this. I'm with Marcus a little to the degree. The degree that I found the character quite funny but not particularly adventurous. Mm-hmm. Almost every laugh she got, no one got a better response at our screening than Ariana. Mm. Like, did you feel maybe 25 minutes in a bit of a, I don't know if this is working? And then once it got to more of Ariana, it's like, this is working. Like, people,
no,
everyone was laughing. But the first 25, it's like, I don't know if this
in the structure of the show, like, the intro song is, you know, the most intricate musically. You're like, oh God, the wickedest witch there ever was.
No one mourns the wicked. Is that what it's called?
Yeah. And it's like, and then Glinda comes in a bubble and she's doing all the soprano stuff. You're like, where are we going? And then you do the flashback of Elphaba's childhood, which is fleshed out from the musical and is so heartbreaking. I found that so terribly sad when her father's like, take it away. And the bear nurse raises her. I was like choking up from 3 minutes.
Who voiced the bear? Anyone we know?
Wasn't it Hulk Hogan?
Come on.
I know he was in this somewhere.
Are you serious?
No. I don't know. I didn't find myself too engaged with this stuff, but I understand that.
Jenna Boyd was the wolf doctor. Oh, no. Sure. Sharon D. Clarke was Dulcie Bear. You've got to assume that's her. Okay.
So, Tom, the film opened, and it opens with the flying monkeys in this big CGI landscape and the mountains and the and you see the yellow brick road and you see Dorothy and everyone making their way away from killing.
I mean, the first thing we see is the shot of the hat, right, and the water.
Yeah, we do.
And we hear, like, she's had water spilled on her or whatever.
See, I thought that was a really nice shot. I liked the shot of the hat.
I was like, this
puddle,
is something.
Right?
I was not immediately like, oh, here
we go. But
then
it pulls
like,
away
okay,
from that
cool.
and it follows the flight path of these flying monkeys through the cliffs and all that sort of stuff. I hated it so much because I immediately rolled my eyes and went, fuck, this whole thing is bad CGI, which to more Tom's point. And I was like, if the whole film's like this, I'm going to hate it so much. To me, it didn't continue looking as bad as that opening scene.
I think you're probably right. I think for the most part, the opening got off onto a bad foot. And then when I saw the tulips, I didn't have this like entire cogent thought of like, that might be real, but it might not be, but maybe it's been gussied up with CGI or whatever. I just kind of saw it. And because it was so close in proximity to what we'd already seen, I was like, that's probably CGI. So then when I found out it wasn't, I'm like, well, that feels like a waste because I figured it might as well be.
It didn't
make me go, I went, yeah, well, I've already
but then
seen
it goes,
what you've
it
done.
Goes to Munchkin Land and then you see all the sets, the practical sets and stuff.
Some
and
of
I
the stuff
like,
there was cool.
Oh, okay, this is better.
I agree.
I think that's when I first noticed the vocals are live. The ensemble.
Yeah, and actually felt live.
That ensemble on set aren't the ones singing, but the leads are
singing.
See,
I kind of wish you didn't tell me that. Because to me, like, it kind of makes sense, but like,
it would be
to me,
so hard. But
of course, it would.
Yeah. It's weird, like,
but it made me feel better because the sound is so good.
So
I think
good.
The sound is good in the movie.
I think the sound mixing and the Foley artist and the entire mix together is perfection because you can hear everything. The mix of the orchestra with the vocals on top, clear as day, which they've recorded on set, and it still sounds like that.
Mm.
And you've got Foley artists of like the broom picking up and the door closing and all this stuff that still folds in exactly at the right level and everything feels natural and yet like it could be in a studio produced album.
Yeah.
I was like, I was just tripping out because it's like Les Mis did it live, right? They did live vocals and it's so bad, so bad. Terrible singers, bad rhythm, nothing sounds right and the rhythm is set by that pianist accompaniment they had in their earphones or whatever. Whereas this is set with, they have the track. So the bits that are colo voce are whatever. And then the track comes in and they're singing to the pre-recorded orchestra track. So they already have the rhythm set. Everyone's in sync. And
the colo voce.
Yeah. What color is it?
Sorry, could you explain that term?
It's led by the voice.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah. So like the tempo is set by the singer.
Okay. Interesting.
Dick. Nice one.
Had never heard that term before. Thanks for explaining it to us.
I think I've said it to you before. Because the tempo is
you're really colo voce today, Tom.
You
really made me consider a little more sotto voce, all right?
Yeah, son of a bitch.
Can I tell you a moment in the film that I like audibly groaned and it was like, I'm out of this. Like I couldn't not enjoy
you're
this.
You're back.
At
you're
all.
Flopping and flopping.
I'm flopping everywhere, but I gave this a 9.
Just, you gave it an 8, but it also a 9.
Yeah, it sounds like you've really left
don't.
A lot
hey,
of wiggle room.
8 to 9, hey. Hey. So sue me.
7. Wait, when you groaned? When did you groan? When did you groan?
Idina Menzel and Kristen, is it Chenoweth?
Kristen Chenoweth, yeah.
When they popped out into the scene, I went, Now, I spoke to Flick about this on the drive home from it, and she goes, well, you've got to pay homage to them.
No, like
they,
no.
Hang on, hold on.
Sorry.
She said, they are wicked. And
I'm so no,
I know
glad
you don't
Frank's
like
going to have
Menzel.
One of these moments
yeah,
now
no,
as well.
I know
Frank.
You don't like Idina Menzel. I just didn't think they needed to be in this.
So they've written.
Here we go. Frank just cracked his knuckles.
I don't have much to say, but I hated. It would have been an 11. If that wasn't in there, it's an 11 for
now,
me.
Hang on. No, Flick has not seen it yet. I just told her when they
Well, don't
up.
Listen to this. They've written.
Is that what you were to Marcus? Like, no, no spoilers.
I'm just in case you're about to go swinging at my wife.
No. Why would I?
I don't know, but she said it.
So. She's allowed to respect the people who. Mm. Okay, so they've written a new piece in the middle of One Short Day. Idina and Kristen come out and sing this stupid song about how the wizard can read the Grimoire, and it's like. This is, we already know this in terms of like the lore of the film. They, and then she does the fucking, and it's like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
You are the world's worst singer and why are you here? It's Cynthia and Ariana's film. they don't need to be like, oh, here's the original Elphaba and Glinda. They suck and yeah. they look like shit and they sound like shit. And sorry, Kristen Chenoweth, you're amazing, but Idina Menzel can die. I just think she is the worst part and she's such a diva and she thinks she's incredible and she's a total mole.
We're not,
allegedly,
we're not
I hate all this stuff. I can't stand her, and I can't stand the fact. I'm sorry, Thomas. I probably shouldn't have said she would die. But I don't really.
No,
care.
It's fine.
God,
Tom's upset. I just think
flabbergasted.
It ruined the entire concept of what we're looking at because every person goes, "Well, who are they? Why are they here? And why is it a special occasion?" Just and the song was bad. And
so, just to summarize, you agree?
That they shouldn't have been in it, yes.
With everything you've just said, which I think is largely valid because cameos and just fan service.
It was a cheap cameo.
Fan service stuff like that is very frustrating, right? And I'm the one who didn't like this movie, so it feels very weird to come to its defense in this way. But that scene, you know, where Kristen and Idina came out and they do the whole song and dance and they trade off like the light from the scepters and they explain the grammar, like you say, we already know. Yeah, I know. But it's like, how else are we going to put out the runtime if we don't have this in here? Like, we've got to have those things. We've got to have that. Otherwise, what else are we going to do? Not make it to 2 hours and 45 minutes? Like, we've got to have this in the movie, right? If you're going to cut that, you could cut 50% of the rest.
No, because that's not in the stage show. That's not. They've added that in.
So much of this is clearly not in the stage show. The original stage show is 2 hours and 45 minutes. This movie is 2 hours and 45 minutes.
The script is barely changed, Thomas. They give things more weight and more length. This is an entire new song.
I just think it's ridiculous that we're going like, well, that didn't need to be in, but everything else needed to be in. Like, so much of this movie, you could feel it stretching and just like swelling in a really uncomfortable, mawkish way.
Do you know what's uncomfortable right now?
You.
Thomas is just shit canning it again and he's not going to change his opinion. So why are we even talking about it? You're going to hate it. Why didn't, like, Stephen Schwartz is the cameo. He goes, the wizard will see you now. And that's Stephen Schwartz who wrote the music. That's great. That's a great cameo because that's for people who know. Whereas these are just for, they go, well, they're characters. Who are they? If you don't know the show, then you don't know who they are. It's a pointless, just ego boost for those two.
I didn't
two.
Know that. So that was
yeah.
Nice.
There you go. There's a nice because that's fun. You go, oh, that's the guy who wrote it, and he's got a line in the thing. Mm. Great. Fucking hell, Thomas. What about Peter Dinklage? Do we like Peter Dinklage?
I want to say, what's even the point of all this? I think this is the point, right? Like, this is
I'm tired of you.
I think you're angry at Idina Menzel and I just happen to be here.
I am.
Hey, listener, I hope you're enjoying this epic. Could be our last.
I spent an hour this morning getting clips to put in here to go listen to how bad she is. And then I went, I'm not going to do that. Because that'd be rude.
I'm just going
I would
to
just say that
tell
she,
them
should,
she
die.
Should die. Instead.
At least I didn't embarrass her, honestly. Because Cynthia's vocal, can we just talk about something good? Cynthia's vocal is so effortless and powerful and clear, and Idina is barking. Even on the album Broadway recording, she's barking it out because she can't get
and
there.
And you know, because I've never fully understood what you're saying when it comes to Idina Menzel. I know how passionate you are about her, right?
Oh, I need to come.
In terms of technique, I'm not the best judge of character.
You can tell, though.
But I can tell. But this film was it beautifully highlighted, actually, how not great she is because you hear the comparison, how what it can be, and you go, oh, shit.
I've never heard Idina's recording of it, but I know that it's – I mean, she won a Tony. I'm not saying that means it's – you know, the standard or
so
anything.
So did David Diggs.
I'm aware of this and you don't like David
Diggs. But I think,
Diggs,
I mean, if, what you can say is she's laid the foundations for others to perfect on because she's just put it out there and others have gone.
She was cast because she was famous. She was like a Broadway it girl. Yeah, that's it. It's like, oh, you're the belter. Dumb. Cast someone new.
Yeah. Anyway, it was a bad moment in the film.
I 100% agree with you. I don't think it belonged in there.
No.
I think
it was really jarring and also really uncomfortable to watch. Obviously a close-up of Ariana. And I keep forgetting.
Kristen Chenoweth.
No.
Cynthia Erivo.
Cynthia, oh my God. Both of them having to smile and look up at them and look at each other and look back and go, this is great.
But the weird thing is like Ariana Grande and like adores Kristen Chenoweth because Kristen Chenoweth is the soprano, is the Broadway girl. She's so.
No, I get that.
That actually makes sense because it's.
Doesn't
like,
mean it was
they're
needed.
Both exceptional.
You're saying that, like, in a perfect world, Kristen could have been in it, but you never would have been happy with Idina Menzel. But it's like, how do you do that?
You can't do one, not the other.
That would be weird.
Yep.
Yeah. But Kristen Chenoweth is.
Now, on to Peter Dinklage.
Yeah.
Can sing.
Yeah. I mean.
Really? No, a character singer.
Yeah.
But a really nice voice.
I mean, he's got the most beautiful voice.
Speaking. I just heard it and I went, that. I looked at Loxley next to me and went, that was really good. And he's like, yeah, I know. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was nice. I'm very happy to see that happening. And it's like, these are the castings that matter. Because, like, you look at Les Mis, problem casting. Amanda Seyfried, Eddie Redmayne, these people that can't sing.
That's interesting.
All right. Right. Yeah. If we're going to pick someone in that cast out of like the celebrity casting, surely you've got to put Amanda at the top.
Well, here's my hot take.
Which I'm not saying she's great, but she's okay.
If it wasn't Ariana, I would have put Amanda Seyfried.
She was up for it for a while. There was a while where it was going to be Amanda.
Well, if it wasn't Ariana, who would you have put?
Someone from Broadway. Carrie St. Louis.
For a seat-filling movie role.
Yeah, the trouble is you can't do that.
I know, you can't do that. And thank God we have Ariana.
So put your producer hat on for a sec. Who would you have put in it?
Ariana Grande. There's no one else.
Dunderhead, you can't have Ariana Grande.
I don't know.
Play the game.
You've got to audition someone. It has to be a proper soprano.
So what you're saying is anyone but Amanda Seyfried?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because she can't do it. She can't do it right. And it's like if you have someone like Cynthia, you can't have Amanda Seyfried being like.
So did we like Fiero?
Yes, Jonathan Bailey is fantastic.
I think his charisma on screen was incredible.
It's a pretty crap character, really. There's not a lot to it, but he's charming as hell, and you go, wow, you're fantastic. And I don't know, I like him. In the press tour, he's really like respectful, and he's like, yeah, well, it's the girls' film, and he's just like, cool dude.
He's doing the Ken.
He's got a good PR manager.
Yeah, he's well-trained. Mm. He says the right thing. I think he actually is like a really humble, kind person. He grew up on stage. Like, he knows he's been dancing and singing his whole life. Yeah, loved him. Fantastic.
Right. Okay.
Beautiful. I didn't, but that's okay.
Why not?
I wasn't a big fan of his song.
Dancing Through Life.
I didn't like that song very much. I didn't like the staging of it. I didn't
it was
really.
My most,
what about the Corey with the. With?
It was pretty tight. Actually, the Corey on the whole is so good.
Very good.
Just joyful to watch.
Very good.
Dancing Through Life was lackluster for me. I felt underwhelmed because he's doing these little, like slippy slideys on the books and stuff. I was like, do more. This is like the dancing song. And then we go to the Ozdas Ballroom.
Like, he didn't do what I did.
He did a lot better than me. Wow, so much better. It's not even a conversation. I wanted more from that scene though. I liked the spinning bookshelf, but I wanted it to then progress to somewhere larger and do more. I will say I did love the size of the ensemble. Pretty small. It could have been stretched out with CGI and stuff, but that ballroom scene, it's just like 20 of them in a circle.
Sure.
Loved it.
Yeah.
Okay. Tom, why didn't you like Dance of the Life?
Sorry. I would say the same reason I didn't like a majority of the musical numbers, and it's because I think John M. Chu, who directed this, and I honestly couldn't tell you the editor, unfortunately, but I know Alice Brooks was the cinematographer who has lit other films, did In the Heights, and I haven't seen that movie, but has a quite sunny and sort of vibrant look to it that I think is a lot better than this movie, but again, I haven't actually seen it. I do think the editing in this film lets it down quite a bit. I think that there is a tendency by action directors and musical directors to say that editing and kinetic sort of like landing on the beat with your cuts is what drives propulsion. And that's not what drives propulsion. It's when you let us see the choreography. It's when you let us see everyone moving in the frame. And every time he let that happen for longer than 5 seconds, I sat the fuck up.
Yes.
And I was like, yes, do this more.
Because
it happened
you realize the choreo
is so
good.
It happened
like
6 times. Yeah. There's one scene at the end or shot at the end of What Is This Feeling? Where Ariana's coming out of the hall with her book and she's dancing slowly goes in on her. And I was just like, this is incredible. This is incredible. Why isn't this more of the movie?
Yeah.
And at the end of Popular, when she's in the pink room that is lit gorgeously the hallway and she dances down the hallway in one unbroken shot to Popular.
Yep.
I don't understand why that's not the movie.
It's like, it's like the weird thing is they honored the stage show so well, but the one thing when you're shooting a musical on stage, it's like, show us, why does the choreography look great? It's because people are dancing in unison or there's like parts that go together. Like that's what choreography is, right? And it's when it's like a fight scene that's cut too close together. You don't actually know where you are or what's happening or what the dance move should look like. So when you have these wide scenes and then you let it breathe, stunning.
Absolutely.
Like, and it's the start of Good News, The Wicked Witch is Dead at the start.
I think it has that a couple of times.
It's pretty like...
Even just some overhead like crane shots that go in over the dancers, over the burning effigy.
You see the scale.
That was
cool
the most
stuff.
Important burning part effigy. Of that opening scene was when it does zoom out and you see the practical sets, you see the full dance, you're seeing it all. It felt like a musical.
That's amazing. Like polished, and I think Dancing Through Life
looking musical.
Was a little tight and like you're seeing intricate foot moves and it's like, but they're not very good move. Like, it just felt a little lackluster.
Even everything on the bookcases, which you can see how they're set up, and you're like, this could look interesting. And almost every time someone started doing something impressive, it cut to another shot. And another
or it span like, with them. Like, yeah. you're like, oh, but get us disoriented. Like,
his legs when they were through and he was kind of spinning. Yeah. I was like, I like the way he looks there. I would love more of this. I would love to see more of actually them doing it. Because like you say, the spectacle on stage, I kept just thinking, fuck, I bet I would have loved this on stage.
How do those books stay in that thing? You see when they're removing one book and you're like, well, all the books have to come out.
Gotta look up how to explain magic to Marcus.
Now, good question. Thank you for bringing that up, Tom. This world's got a big element of magic to it, right?
Oh, yes.
Where is that?
Yeah.
Like, where in is the air where's tonight. All the magic? Look, I'm a bit confused. So to me, and I think that if you search the internet deep enough, obviously,
what are you going to find?
The Wizard of Oz, the Wizard of Oz,
Wizard of Shiz, no,
Wizard of Eggies, is problematic at best, right? Uh-huh. It was a cursed set.
Oh, you mean where people?
Oh, the original movie,
where the Munchkin
the original
died
movie,
and the guy,
asbestos poisoning,
the paint, the lead,
and then if you look at the story,
Judy Garland's just on speed,
the whole time they were just pumping it full of drugs.
Between the two, great movie, it's full of plot holes, like nothing really makes sense. And what are the rules, right? So you've got a wizard who can't read this magic book. Mm-hmm. We don't know really the origins of the magic book. It just is.
It's the Grimoire. It just
folds the Grimoire, He just has it. He just built up this big steampunk city because he's, I guess, the greatest inventor ever. We've got witches that can do magic and witches that can't do magic or are learning to do magic. Then you've just got plain old people who are just at a school of magic not doing magic.
Well, it's not a school of magic. There's just a magic course. And it's like if you have the skill, like Elphaba has, she's a witch. She's got the skill, right?
What is the school? Is it just a school?
It's Hogwarts, but less fun. Right?
Yeah, it's
Hogwarts
without magic,
where they don't actually do the one thing that Hogwarts is known for.
And we have talking animals.
Yeah.
And then then they're getting taken
because of fascism.
How I understand it is fascism is destroying magic. That's what I get. No, I think the magic has been lost. I think the wizard came to Oz whenever, and he's just a guy from Kansas. As we know from the James Franco film, he's an inventor. He doesn't know magic, so all of this is a lie. Michelle Yeoh knows a bit of magic, but not much because it's a lost art form, right? So Elphaba comes along and they're like, oh my gosh.
A little bit, but she can change the weather.
Yeah, but like barely move a few clouds.
Yeah.
That's nothing. It's just jump change.
That's small time, she.
To make sure that Elphaba doesn't get wet, which is a plot point which...
She cries a lot.
And if I was more into the movie, I wouldn't think about what he means.
It's just like a little tidbit because I don't think she actually dies from Dorothy throwing water on her. I think that's a ploy.
That's interesting.
It's all based on the marketing of Elphaba. She's a wicked witch. She killed her with water, but she doesn't actually die.
She doesn't actually die, and that's going to...
So that's just a joke. You can't get wet, my dear.
Okay. Interesting. Joke. And how Galinda's name became Glinda because of a goat.
It's great.
I think
the guy is.
Do we want to get a little bit into just the Butler's Pantry because I want to talk about the adaptation process? Yep.
Can you applaud him after he's finished?
I'm not going to applaud him for anything.
The Butler's Pantry with a mic. Wicked version.
The Butler's Pantry.
Ooh.
What is this feeling? Don't even remember any of the tunes. I really liked The Wizard and I. Actually, that was kind of
Wizard and I is the second.
Once she started singing, because it's the first Cynthia singing, and I was like, oh my god, yes, here we are. Anyway,
it's magical.
This came out in 2003 on Broadway, right?
Oh yeah,
long production process. It was based on a book that was written in 1995, and so it was like 8 years getting from book to adaptation to the stage. Mm-hmm. And then is one of the longest running Broadway musicals, second like most lucrative Broadway musical of all time. It's insane the cultural footprint this has. Yep. I will admit, as someone who enjoys musicals but often knows more about them when they get adapted for movies, you know, I've never been to Broadway. I don't often get along to see musicals. I didn't know how big a deal this was probably until 2 weeks ago where I was like, oh shit, this isn't like a top 20, top 15 musical. This is number two of all time.
Mm-hmm. Wait, sorry, what's number one?
The Lion King.
Oh,
and then under that, it's Phantom of the Opera. In terms of money, commercial, like, viability. So I do think that one of the weirdest things that happens is in adapting this musical, and there's this thing you get with Dear Evan Hansen where people say, that's an incredible musical, like it's so fantastic, like it was so heartfelt and such a tricky but poignant story. And then when it's about to be adapted, the rest of the world who never saw it on Broadway goes, so what's that movie about? And you tell them, and they're like, that's what that movie's about. And it's like, yeah, that's that movie's
about.
See,
I know nothing about that.
I could give you
Dear Evan Hansen is a bit tricky one, but it's like Evan Hansen's a sociological kid. A kid kills himself and then he makes up that they were best friends and like gets ingratiated with his family and dates the sister. And it's really like, that's how I understand it. I'm not saying.
And there's songs.
And Ben Platt. And yeah. Ben Platt is like belting and crying. And it's Pensack and Paul who wrote Greatest Showman and what's the other one? Dogfight and.
Well, I'm sold.
Well,
and I'm not saying that you can't make a musical out of that. It's just you're kind of surprised. You're like, that's what that's about. I had no idea. I had no idea that a major plot point in Wicked is about talking animals being taken away and put in camps. Yep. Like we're doing kind of a authoritarian commentary on talking animals. Yep. And the movie's like, this is what this is about. And then kind of forgets that's what it's about. And then goes, oh, by the way, this is what this is about.
I think it lands much more in the film version than it does on stage. On stage, you're like, because, you know, you've got the prop lion they run away with and things. And then like
the cowardly lion.
It is actually.
So,
oh my gosh, it's crazy.
So that in itself is problematic.
I was so happy no one said, God, this lion sure is cowardly. Like, the points for that at
it's
least.
Like she's hard up against the cowardly lion in The Wizard of Oz, like in terms of opposition, and yet she's a very big supporter. Don't.
You said
take.
She's hard up against the cowardly lion.
But let's,
your words.
Yeah.
The Wizard of Oz is not the set, like, They're not the same world as Wicked. Like, they sort of play into each other, but...
See,
Wicked Witch
that can go fuck itself, in my opinion. I think if you're going to connect them. Don't take The Wizard of Oz and go, well, let's do it better and let's
Because
change.
Isn't The Wizard of Oz based on the book as well, but it's not a faithful adaptation? Because this is all...
Yeah, there's stories that were... like, L. Frank Baum had these other stories and it was all sort of like, we'll pile in the stuff that works.
They're playing into Wizard of Oz, but it's not actually the same.
I would say, too, that we need to see part two. Right, because part two, I don't know how that looks. We had a conversation leading into this being like, I wonder how they're going to do this in two parts, because obviously the climactic moment of Wicked is the song. I've jumped into the Butler's Pantry here. I'm so
That's
sorry,
okay. This is important. This is all to do with the adaptation and where it's at now.
But the song is the peak moment, right? Even in the stage
Defying
show.
Gravity.
Defying Gravity. Yeah. Right before Interval.
Yeah.
And then act two is a bit meh. It's a bit kind of whatever.
It's going to be much darker, I think.
I think so too, but it's
so
like,
you're going to hate it, Tom.
How are they going to make part two really?
Yes.
How are they going to make part two for the film really interesting, because you don't have that Defying Gravity moment?
I will eat my name unpleasant object that's not edible if they don't have Defying Gravity as a reprise in the second version. They're going to do it. They're going to do it. Like, they're just going to be like, what are we going to do? How are we not going to do it
again? But they've got just – I was like, what have they got? They got – I'm Not That Girl, which is beautiful. As Long As You're Mine, which is a duet with Elphaba and Fiero. No Good Deed, which is sick. Elphaba's like, that's a huge song. And then For Good is the duet for Glinda and Elphaba. And that's going to be
act
like
two
this.
Really opens up for Elphaba in terms of songs, right? Like she really...
She
gets a fair bit. Like,
no, I wouldn't say any, like not really.
Oh, okay.
It's, I mean, yeah, she's the lead, so she's singing a lot. But sure, not more. Sure. You wouldn't go, wow, she's so much more singing than act one. I don't know. They probably will crowbar in a Defying Gravity, but it's still got a lot of amazing musical moments, and I think acts as more of the vessel rather than the songs.
And I have seen the musical three times. I just remembered I did see you do it. I forgot. I've seen Flick.
But you forgot.
Yeah. Because I was thinking, I was like, no, I know what he looked like. I saw him on stage. Anyway,
you've just seen that photo.
I've seen it three times.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter who's singing it. When Defying Gravity happens, the song starts and I go, nah, you're not going to cry this time. You're not going to cry this time.
Why
you know.
Would you? Yeah.
And then it builds and it builds and then it gets to the bit and I lose it every time. And I was wiping tears away from my face behind those 3D glasses.
Yeah.
And embarrassed about it.
But it's stunning because
I was like, why
like,
has it got me again?
The music is great. It builds. It starts so simply and beautifully. And I think the context of where we are, and it might be a little cheesy, but it's also like, who cares? It's beautiful.
Yeah, but it works.
Yeah.
Cheesy or not, it works. I tried to fight it. And
you're
works.
Never gonna. You can't.
You don't like the Let It Go comparisons, which I understand because you don't like that song and you like Defying Gravity. Mm-hmm. But the other thing that associates them or binds them is just like we talked about with Let It Go. It's the it's the lyrical vagueness of Defying Gravity. Except for the fact that it is called Defying Gravity, no other part of that song references Because I'm a Witch or Because I'm Green. And I mean, it's a song that can work in any context.
It's a hit single. It's not, it's not a plot mover.
And it's about liberation.
Because again, it's, you know, because of the context of the film, yeah. I was, you go, oh, that's kind of what she's referencing. A lot of the lyrics, like you said, are so vague. They've given a point in the film, but if you listen to it without the visual, you go, yeah, yeah, it's vague. It's
hey, fine. Is the lyric I'm limited or unlimited?
Unlimited power.
No, well,
if she was saying I'm limited power,
it explain to me though. What, when she says unlimited, what are we getting at here? What's unlimited?
And her potential.
Doesn't she then follow it up with power every time? Or does she just say unlimited?
No, Thomas. Oh, I thought she says power. Speaking of power,
we
MV. Wait.
I want to say one more thing while we're in the pantry and then we should get out.
Yeah.
Which is essentially that.
It smells weird in here.
Yeah, I apologize.
Tom's beer.
I live down here, guys. I think that productions like this probably work a lot better. I think I will see the stage version of this one day. I think I'm going to like it a lot more than I liked the movie because I don't think I bring the logic and the sort of, okay, well, if I'm going to spend so much time here, I'm going to try work out what's going on with the character alliances and the dynamics and what is the plot and what is actually like happening moment to moment. And I think in the musical, every 5 minutes, there's a new song, or maybe 10 sometimes, right? But it's really just like spectacle, grandeur, fantastic, good music, I'm in. What's the plot? Something in Oz. I don't give a shit. Like, this looks great. Mm. And I felt this I'm not trying to diminish it, but I could watch the musical that way, I feel.
Yeah.
And I can't watch the movie that way because it's too particular. It's too invested in the, well, you know, the plot of this movie is that there's a young girl who sort of can do magic. You know, she makes a coin float once. And then she's being tricked into using the mystical text that no one else can read to give monkeys wings. And also her roommate is the future good witch who she gets to come to the magical lessons with her because she gave her a hat once and also got a guy to ask her sister who's in a wheelchair to a dance. And I'm like, this is too – I don't understand why this is so complicated. This is too many moments where I'm like,
sorry, Tom.
I'm trying to pay attention to things that make very little sense.
You're a pretty smart guy.
Those are way too complicated.
That's three plot points you've said. That's not that complicated. The bad guy's trying to recruit you because he knows you have the skill to do it and he can't do it, so he wants you on
which
his team.
Which you have because your mother had an affair with a man who was drinking a green elixir.
Yep.
And
who is the wizard?
Your sister, of course, they had to drink milk nettles or milk poppies, then that she had to come out too quick. And yep. I'm just like, every step of this, I feel like everything they've obviously added, you can say they didn't add it.
I didn't add any of that. That's all
time.
They've
padded it. They've
that's
obviously
all in the stage. That's literally all in the stage Frank, show. It's literally all in the stage
anyone
show.
Anyone who wants to tell me, I don't know what to tell you, but it's all there on the stage as well. They read just somehow managed to fit it into 2 hours and 40
script.
Minutes.
Thomas.
On the stage. Can you explain to me, do you really think they have not continually
they really
have, in this movie?
No, okay, whoa. Go on, you go can on. Both. I'm going to play devil's advocate here.
Okay.
Let's just take a breath.
Thomas doesn't know what he's... This
no,
is
no, no,
unfair,
no, no, no.
though.
Frank, let Sorry. Me finish. You are...
I like what I sound like the reasonable
both.
One. You don't.
You are both right.
Can't
you are,
be.
You are both right.
Pick a side.
No, because, Frank, yes, everything that's in this film is in the musical.
Yeah.
Yes, Tom, it is dragged out and elongated and to a point where, yes, there's a couple of scenes that are, whether it just be visual only, filler scenes. There's some stuff in there to pad it out because, of course, you have to. You're both right.
I don't think you have to.
They could have done it in 2 hours 20. I'll say that.
I think in terms of world building, which is very important.
Yes.
World building is very important. And the stage show is limited, right? Not unlimited.
Mm.
It is limited because of what you have. I mean, you get a chance this time because a big gimmick in the stage show is obviously seeing Elphaba get on the broom.
Yeah.
Massive moment, right?
Which looking back now,
visually you're like, wow, awesome, sick.
Uh-huh.
Can probably work out how they did that, but either way, it's really cool.
A scissor lift.
And then in the film, to me, the film version of that was, I think, underwhelming, if I can be honest, because it's easier. You can do whatever. You can have her fly through the sky. And
I mean, it doesn't mean anything.
The argument, the argument that on film things are easier versus on the magic of seeing a musical on stage, they're different things. And that's a fair comparison to make because on stage in a room with the singers singing in front of you, I think always feels a little bit more special.
Yeah.
But I think they've done an exceptional job of capturing that magic and putting it to film.
Yeah.
I think it's the best musical we've seen ever on film.
Yeah.
And I think, what are you going to say?
I don't know.
What are you going
to
say?
What's your rebuttal to that, though? If you're going to.
That Frank said this is the greatest musical he's ever seen on film.
Yeah.
I think that's a take, and I disagree with it. But
no,
that's
wait,
fine.
Wait. But you're saying that musical taken from stage and then adapted to screen?
Yeah. What else is there? How many musicals have they written just for a movie? Grease?
What was first? Was Grease was the movie first and then the musical?
I know nothing about
Anyway, my point is, Tom, what's your rebuttal? What's better?
West Side Story.
See, that's...
Which
Chicago. The most recent
close.
West Side
Chicago's
Story.
Chicago's great.
I really like Chicago.
West Side Story. I wish there was more vivid colours.
I really like Oliver. I really like
Oliver.
Yes, I really like My Fair Lady. I really like The Sound of Music. I really like Mary Poppins. I really like 42nd Street. I really like other musicals. I like Cats better than this movie, which I know is not a cool thing to say, and I apologize, but I do like Cats better than this movie.
We need to go on MVP because Thomas is an idiot and I can't stand him.
What's Elphaba?
What's her name? Cynthia Erivo. Yes. I agree.
Incredible.
100%.
Yeah, Cynthia Erivo.
I think she holds the film together so beautifully. She's naturally so powerful and eloquent and just awesome. That's all. They're the words I could bring out.
That was nice. That was nice. Thomas, anything to say?
I really wish she'd had more opportunity to sing. When she did sing, nothing else mattered. So that was what I wanted more from this movie, and the things I wanted less of that I'm sure we could go like another 10 rounds on.
That's enough. We're doing MVP. Most valuable.
The things that I just think were unnecessary that they fleshed out clearly.
So I think Cynthia's going to win the Oscar, and then she'll be an EGOT, and that'll be fantastic. Is anyone going to throw in the power?
Has she got – what else has she got for?
Emmy. All for, I think, Color Purple.
An Emmy?
Yeah, for Aretha.
Okay.
Maybe.
Interesting. She's great. I would love to see her nominated. I was shocked. I was having a conversation the other day saying, well, Ariana will be nominated in actress. And Loxley was like, no, supporting. And I was like, that's absurd. She'll go to actress. And the Hollywood Reporter is literally reporting today that like, nope, they've been submitted for actress for Cynthia and best supporting for Ariana.
Which is the opposite of
they did
for Chicago.
Got actress.
No, for the Tonys, they both went for actress.
Yes.
But for Chicago, for the Oscars,
yeah.
Catherine Zeta-Jones went for Best Supporting Actress and won,
yes.
Whereas Renee Zellweger got nominated for Actress.
People want to give it to Ariana as well, which I kind of understand.
Yeah,
on some level.
She's truly exceptional. We haven't really spoken about her enough, but we don't have time, so no one's throwing anything in.
I'll throw in the power.
What?
Ooh. Oh, he's going lower.
What? Throw in the
power. Yeah, I'm feeling a one. No, I would go like a 4. I've never seen him this exasperated.
Oh, Deadpool Wolverine.
Yes,
he
you have.
Pretty
You've made me this
Oh, wait, that's right. Every time we spend time together, it gets to this.
So you're going from a 4 to a 4.5?
I'd go like a 4.7.
Yeah!
I really like
We win! Tom sucks! This
best,
is great.
The best thing you can say about it, that everything you said I disagree with at all, was the sound in this movie is really well mixed.
Yeah.
I think the lyrics and the tone are so, so perfect and so well captured considering it was like largely sung live on the set.
They had hidden microphones everywhere.
Yes. And that I don't
Magic.
Think you can really put Cynthia in a box and just say, well, that's good, but the rest of it sucks. It's like, yeah, but she's so good in it. And when she was singing Defying Gravity, I felt stuff finally 7 hours into this movie. So, yeah.
I'm going to go back to the original eight.
What?
Who could have seen it coming?
You planned that in advance? I'm
no,
going to
no,
start
I
with a nine.
Genuinely didn't. I just
You're coming down
up,
a bit.
I am going to come down a bit.
Because the colour wasn't vibrant enough for you.
No, I don't necessarily agree with a lot of what Thomas said. There's some things that the more I've thought about it during our talk, I'm like, there's some scenes that I don't really love and there's some moments I don't love. There's 2 hours 40 is too long as well, right?
Disagree.
Yeah, it was too long, but...
I'm going to throw in the power as well. I'm going to 10.5. Throw in the power. It's just perfection to watch. It's so enjoyable. Ugh,
I
want to
go again.
Yeah, 100%. All right.
I'm not compelled to go again, but I'll,
you've already seen it 3 times on stage.
Yeah, 4 times too many.
2 memorable times.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much for listening to that episode of Throw in the Pow.
Can you guys hug it out or something? I just want to feel.
No,
the
he's
love
too
again.
Sweaty.
Sorry.
That's the best laugh I got all day.
You said something funny.
Finally.
Finally. Yeah.
Thanks for listening to Throw in the Foul. My name is Frank.
Frank is a smoker.
Hey.
That was wicked.
And Tom's here too.
Right. So here I go. You don't. Send us an email. Send us an email.
Yeah,
hit us up on Instagram. Throw in the pal at gmail.com. Tell us the best musical ever.
Ever.
Is it wicked?
Throw in the pal.